I've heard it said that politics and patriotism are two sides of the same coin. Citizenship is like currency. You get what you pay for. When we insist on getting something for nothing, we risk being cheated. Today, we find ourselves in a situation where many demand protection and benefits without obligation or service. Anything worth doing is hard. Good citizenship means doing your own homework, making up your own mind, and questioning authority when it's necessary. Don't kid yourself. They serve us, or we will serve them. Hello, I'm Justin Oldham, and you're listening to an ATS member podcast. For the next 10 minutes, I'd like to tell you a little bit about what I've been up to recently, and then I'd like to discuss the potentials for the demise of the Republican Party here in the United States. As many of you know, only one of my hats is made out of tinfoil. When I'm not here on ATS, I'm off doing other things. Sometimes I'm an author, sometimes I'm a blogger, and every now and then again I'm a radio commentator. Some of my publishing efforts are about to bear fruit, and that specifically is what has kept me away from continuing these podcasts for at least the last 3 weeks. But I fulfilled my obligations to everybody, and now I'm starting to have some more free time. For the benefit of those fun-loving computers over at the Department of Homeland Security, which may be scanning this file, I'd like to point out that this recording is being made on Tuesday of May 20th, 2008. In recent weeks, the Republican Party has had to participate in several special elections in three different states because senior members of the House of Representatives and the Senate have stepped down for a variety of reasons, either health or they've been indicted and sent to jail. Now, no matter how you slice it, the Republicans are continuing to lose their representation in Congress. It's my speculation that by the time we go to the polls in November, gas is going to be $5 a gallon, oil is going to be $150 a barrel, and the Republicans are going to get beat like a drum. They're going to end up being such a small minority in both the House and the Senate that you'll need a microscope to find them. Now, we are in the business of conspiracy here at AboveTopSecret.com, so I'd like to posit a few ideas to you. The first and foremost of which is that the Democrats are not going to ignore this opportunity to drive a stake through the heart of their opposition once and for all. Today's Republicans have three critical problems to deal with, only one of which is really out of their control. The two obvious issues that they're wrestling with, rather badly I might add, would be the economy, which is failing, and the war, which continues to be mismanaged in both Iraq and in Afghanistan. The one issue they have to contend with, which is out of their control, is something called the third-term curse. This is something that affects both Democrats and Republicans, and it's a classical part of American politics. It basically goes like this. Any political party which has held the White House for two terms almost never gets elected for a third term. The one exception to this, obviously, is Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who, as a Democrat, was elected to serve an unprecedented four terms. And by the way, just in case you didn't know, FDR was the guy who was responsible for Congress trotting out and passing the 22nd Amendment to our Constitution, which limits a president to just two terms. Good, bad, or otherwise, President George W. Bush has had his two terms in office as a Republican, and now John McCain, as a Republican, is trying to run, and he's up against that third-term curse. It's very unlikely that the voters are going to approve another Republican president for a four-year stint in the White House. Even if the Republicans didn't have the third-term curse to contend with, they still have the failing economy and the various perceptions, the negative perceptions, about the wars in Iraq and in Afghanistan. These things hang around their collective necks like lodestones. For the most part, the average American still sees the necessity of the war in Afghanistan, and for the most part, more good news comes out of Afghanistan than you'll ever see coming out of Iraq in any given month. To some extent, this is possible because Afghanistan is a smaller conflict, but there's also the realization that this whole war started with Afghanistan and the fact that Osama bin Laden and his kids from Al-Qaeda were camped out there and eventually got chased into northern Pakistan. And just in case you thought I was going to neglect that point, I'm not. The fact that here we are 6 years later and Osama bin Laden is still on the lam, that counts very heavily against the Republicans. And every time John McCain goes to any place to speak to a sizable group of people, I'm sure he must get assaulted with that question on a regular basis. There's no doubt in my mind that, for the most part, the Republicans have meant well, but they've been selfish, they've been greedy, they've been short-sighted, and ultimately, they've mismanaged themselves into this very desperate circumstance, which, come November, the Democrats are going to be very happy to exploit. Now, the Democrats are obviously not going to be satisfied with driving the Republicans into minorityship in the House and the Senate. They're going to go after these guys with murder on their minds. They're going to set up investigative committees. They're going to uncover every potential wrongdoing, every embarrassing deed. Everything will be done so that in the following off-year election, which will be 2010, that even more Republicans will be driven out of office. The simple fact of the matter is, and you don't need to be a conspiracy theorist to figure this out, is that the Democrats will be in a position to crush this party and possibly do it so much damage that it's beyond any hope of repair. All it's going to take is a successful series of witch hunts to drive the oldest members out of Congress first and then to compromise the youngest and the most vulnerable of Republicans who may have some questionable deeds tucked away somewhere in their past. Now, the Democrats are not my preferred political party, and it's really going to hurt me to see the Republicans go through this, but to a certain extent, I do agree with the notion that they brought this on themselves by so poorly handling themselves that they've managed to they've managed to kneecap their own war effort, and they've managed to do the same thing to the economy. Now, having been a civil servant myself, I can tell you, that takes a very special brand of malfeasance to do that to both sectors of this country at the same time. The thing that we as citizens have to be concerned about is what happens when the Democratic Party achieves such super, supreme, ultimate domination of the House, the Senate, and the White House. What happens? I mean, what does that mean for you and me as the average citizen? I think that it's going to mean more tyrannical government because instead of a system of checks and balances which prevent tyrants from going overboard, instead what we're going to have is a system of checks and balances that keeps everybody under Uncle Sam's thumb while a privileged few take off, run wild, go nuts, and tell the rest of us what to do, and put us on a course which could eventually lead to civil war. Now, I don't say that lightly. I'm not looking forward to any kind of social unrest or revolt. I don't want any of those things to happen because, you know, I like my cable TV and my cornflakes just as much as the next guy, and I don't want to be deprived of any of it. Now, I know what you're thinking, and you're probably right. When the power vacuum occurs, as the Republicans fall from grace, the opportunity will be there for a new political party to ascend and take its place. The only question is, what will that be? Would the Libertarians be capable of stepping up? Would we see the rise of the Green Party to the national level? At this point, our future remains too murky, and I just couldn't tell you. The only thing I do know for any degree of certainty is that it's time for us to start having this conversation. The Republican Party right now is like a tree that has had its base chopped out from under it. We can already start to see it fall. The only question is, which direction is it going to go? And who gets to pick up the pieces afterward? I want to make one thing perfectly clear. I do see the rebirth of the Republican Party as being very feasible. Anybody who's familiar with my non-ATS work will know that I do foresee an eventual rebirth and resurgence of American conservatism. If the party splits, it will likely divide into evangelical and sectarian camps. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, that means that you will likely see two different groups of conservatives. One will be very religious, the other one will be very non-religious. The sectarians will embrace fiscal responsibility above all else, whereas the evangelicals will place morality and religious virtue on the highest pedestal. If you have any questions or comments about what you've heard in today's podcast, please feel free to grab your keyboard and find me at AboveTopSecret.com. I'm Justin Oldham. This has been an ATS member podcast, and we'll see you later.